The Second World War, a podcast by Stephen Bedard. Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application. Having defeated France, Germany now had to turn its sights towards Britain. As Churchill had said in his speech, "The Battle of France is over. I expect the Battle of Britain is about to begin." But what would the Battle of Britain look like? The Battle of France had not been easy for the Germans. They faced their obstacles, such as the Ardennes Forest and the Maginot Line and the Low Countries. But none of those were an obstacle like the English Channel. Britain is an island, and it would require different tactics. This was not just a matter of adjusting what had been done in the previous war. In a very short time after the events of the previous episode, Army and Luftwaffe generals gathered to discuss what an invasion of Britain would look like. These were serious plans that were expected to lead to an invasion near the end of August. While the plans for the actual German advance across Britain were reasonable, it was not feasible to keep those troops supplied across the Channel. The German Navy also admitted that they could not provide adequate protection from the British Navy. A new plan was put together, including fewer divisions than the previous plan. Plans also included long-range artillery support from the French coast. One of the more intriguing aspects was a refitting of the panzers that would allow them to be deployed offshore and then journey the rest of the way on the seabed. Waterproofing was installed and tests demonstrated that this could indeed work. The Germans were not that worried about the British Army. Much of it was still in tatters from the evacuation from Dunkirk, and while they would put up a strong defense, they were not the main concern. The major problem for the Germans was the British Navy and Air Force. The German Navy was not strong enough to oppose the British, and this put the onus on the Luftwaffe. In order for the invasion to take place close to the end of September, the Luftwaffe would have to take the RAF out of the equation. Hitler had some strong views on how this would look. His Directive No. 17 from August 1st stated, quote, "Using all possible means, the German air forces will smash the British air forces in as brief a period as possible. Its attacks will be directed in the first instance against formations in flight, their ground facilities, and their supply centers, then against the British aircraft industry, including factories producing anti-aircraft guns," end quote. Hitler specifically stated that he did not want any terror bombing against the civilian population. The focus was to be upon destroying the RAF in preparation for the invasion. Anything else would be a distraction. The incredible thing is that if that plan had been carried out strictly according to this directive, the Germans very likely would have won the Battle of Britain. So how did things work out? Both sides had certain advantages. The Germans had far more planes than the British, at least on paper. However, it was really the Messerschmitt 109s that were able to win the dogfights. The British had the Hawker Hurricanes and the less numerous, but better, Supermarine Spitfires. British production of planes was going well, but they still had a shortage of pilots. The good thing for the British was that, unlike the Germans, when one of their planes was shot down, there was a good chance that they would get their pilots back. The Battle of Britain took place in numerous phases, defined by what the Germans were trying to accomplish at the time. From June 26th to July 16th, they were mostly nuisance raids. From July 17th to August 12th, there were daylight attacks on shipping, ports, and coastal airfields. August 13th was Adlertag, the Day of the Eagle, the beginning of the main attack. This would last until September 6. During this phase, the Germans were coming very close to winning. Aside from planes loss, the British were experiencing casualties of 15 to 20 pilots killed or wounded every day. They could not keep up that pace, as you can't just throw a person in an RAF uniform into a plane. It takes significant training, especially under the exhausting and stressful conditions they were flying under. It was looking like the Luftwaffe would get their victory. And then, something happened. On August 24th, a German bomber accidentally bombed a civilian target in London. That accident and the British response may have been the turning point in the war. Churchill sent a reprisal raid to bomb Berlin as a result of what happened in London. Think of what was going on in Hitler's mind here. To this point, he had been in control, and he was the master of much of Europe. And now the British dare bomb Berlin? His very own capital? Hitler threw out his ban on terror bombing and ordered the Luftwaffe to do to London what they had done to Warsaw and Rotterdam. This began the next phase, which is the Blitz, which was from September 7th to October 2nd. There was then large-scale night bombing from October 3rd to October 31st. The London Blitz lasted for 57 consecutive days. This was devastating to the British, not just in terms of physical damage, but in the immense loss of life. Over 40,000 British died and almost 140,000 injured. It's impossible for us to imagine the psychological damage of not knowing when your home was going to be bombed or if you would ever see your family again. Even Buckingham Palace was hit by bombs. Interestingly, King George VI and Queen Elizabeth remained in Buckingham Palace throughout these events, although they sent Princesses Elizabeth and Margaret to Windsor Castle for safety. It should be noted that the Blitz was not just against London, and numerous other British cities were bombed as well. Although this was a terrible loss, it did allow the RAF the relief it needed to get back into action. The Germans could not focus on both terror bombing and their strategic military bombing, and so the RAF began to grow in strength again. It was in response to the brave efforts of these RAF crews that Churchill made his famous comment, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." Eventually, the Luftwaffe losses were so high that they had to cease their bombing at the rate undertaken during the Battle of Britain. Although the RAF suffered heavy losses, they had prevented the Luftwaffe from gaining air superiority over Britain. Now remember, the attempted destruction of the RAF was initiated for a specific reason, and that was the invasion that had been given the name Operation Sea Lion. This was no idle threat. The Germans had planned to carry this out. German troops, tugs, barges, and landing craft were all massed on the coast, waiting for the Luftwaffe to clear the way. But not only was the RAF not destroyed, they began targeting the invasion fleet. Would Sea Lion happen? It's here that we see some of Hitler's uncertainty. He would pick a date and then postpone it. They were running against the clock when it came to the tides, and if they didn't start soon, it would be postponed to the spring or summer. On October 12th, Wilhelm Keitel, commander of the Wehrmacht, announced, quote, "The Führer has decided that until next spring, the preparations for Seelau are to be continued with the sole intention of maintaining political and military pressure on Britain," end quote. It's likely by this time that Hitler had completely given up on a cross-channel invasion of Britain. He had set his sights on the Soviet Union, who he was currently in a non-aggression pact with. Hitler saw Britain as the people he respected, but saw as a threat. But the Russians, they were those that Hitler both hated and saw as a threat. Hitler preferred to keep the pressure on the British with the threat of invasion, ongoing bombing, and a blockade with his U-boats. Hopefully, the British would seek a peace as the French had. Meanwhile, Hitler could take care of the real threat, that of Joseph Stalin and the Soviet Union. One of the more important ramifications of Britain overcoming the Luftwaffe was the change in world opinion, especially among the Americans. After the fall of France, many assumed that the British would fall soon after. But in the Battle of Britain, they demonstrated a resolve that gave a glimpse of the victory over the Axis that was yet possible. Perhaps the Allies were not a lost cause after all. Thank you for listening to this episode. Please visit me at stephenjbedard.com/secondworldwar. Also, consider supporting me on Patreon by going to patreon.com/hopesreason. Even $1 a month, less than a cup of coffee, will help keep this podcast going. Please find me on Twitter and Facebook. Thank you, and God bless.